tried to defend themselves against the attack. While Dr. Avian rolled around on the floor, the Sekhmen went down like helpless tenpins. Ryan broke the neck of the nearest. JB kicked the next one in the crotch, felling him, then did a jump and knee drop in the center of his chest. None of the Sekhmen even cried out as they went down one after the other. Jack chopped the legs from the third Sekhmen, leaving Christy to straddle the creature, her long, strong fingers tightening around the exposed neck. The helmet rolled away, and the idiot face goggled up at her, eyes rolling, mouth opening. The hand made a feeble effort to move the woman, but Christy was too strong and too experienced. Her strangling fingers clamped around the windpipe. The eyes protruded even more, and the tongue, blackening, burst from the bloody froth that filled the mouth. Finnegan hit the fourth and last Sekhmen, taking out his anger and frustration at the failure of the laser gun. Finnegan was about as tall as the black uniformed figure, but outweighed him by around 60 pounds. He sent the creature crashing back into the edge of the door with a spine-jarring impact. The guard's gun went flying one way, his helmet spinning the other. As the mutie began to topple, Finn hooked two fingers into his brutish nostrils, jerking the Sekhmen off balance even more. With amazing lightness for a big man, he pivoted sideways and struck with his forearm across the front of the mutie's neck. Unable to breathe, the guard slumped to his knees, face purpling, waving his hands helplessly in the air. Finnegan, with contemptuous ease, stepped behind the Sekhmen and locked his hands under the creature's chin. Bracing himself like someone pulling a cork from an enormous bottle, inhaling mightily with the effort, he snapped the Sekhmen's neck like a dry branch.
Four down and done.
JB picked up one of the laser blasters and examined the dubious firing mechanism. Dr. Avian reached for the tiny transpeak that hung from the top pocket of his long coat.
Termination with utter prejudice.
Not us, Dr. Avian. You.
Ryan stooped to snatch the tiny transmitter and crush it under his heel.
You wouldn't kill a man of science. It is beyond logic.
Chill him, Ryan.
But, Dr. Tanner, you are a colleague.
Avian, still lying on his back, helplessly waved his artificial hand.
Colleague? I would as soon claim kinship with the diseased Timberwolf. A scientist should labor only for betterment and for peace and for life, for the positive things. No man knows that as well as I do. You and your crawling, loathsome colleagues are working only for the powers of darkness, for the Black Lords of Chaos. No, Dr. Avian, you should be crushed like a poisonous worm. Kill him, Ryan, quickly, so that we can get on with our cleansing business.
I'll ice him, Doc.
Do it, Finn.
It was very simple for an experienced killer like Finnegan to take out the frail scientist. In the brief struggle, the false hand became detached and began to make its own laborious way across the floor, trailing wires and a green circuit board behind it. As it neared the door, Lori followed it and set her foot on top of it.
Hey, these guns are totally U.S., all of them.
Lori turned to the armorer.
What does that mean?
Unserviceable.
Dix dropped the blaster on the bed.
For once, Finnegan's right. Odds must be 100-1 on them working. They're fine at low power, but fucking useless if you push the dial around.
What now?
We go get our own weapons, and our clothes.
And if we meet trouble?
We've taken four. We can take the rest.
The corridors were empty when they made their move. Now that they were irreversibly committed to a course of bloody action, there was no point in concealment. No point in anything except speed. JB held his handmade map of the complex.
Place they stored our stuffs around the next corner.
In his other hand, he held one of the blasters. He, Ryan, Finn, Jack, and Christy had each taken one. Despite Finnegan's lack of confidence in the weapons and the evidence of their own eyes, they were better than nothing. At the suggestion of the armorer, they set the illuminated pointer on 10 rather than maximum power.
Take a look, kid.
Jack flattened himself against the wall of the corridor, brushing his mane of snowy hair away from his eyes. The boy cautiously edged his face around the corner, then pulled back sharply.
Nobody.
The storage room door was sturdier than many others around the complex, but it yielded to a succession of crushing kicks from Finnegan's right foot. When the door burst open, it revealed shelves and lockers.
Let's get ready, people.
JB led them inside. Jack waited in the corridor, keeping watch for sec patrols, while the others quickly found their own clothes, tore off their coveralls, and changed. They also found their own weapons, a far more important discovery.
Let's fucking go take them.
Finnegan waved his HK-54A2 submachine gun. The big butcher's cleaver and its leather sheath dangled menacingly at his left hip, balanced by the 9mm Beretta pistol on his right hip. Jack carefully checked his satin-finished .357 Magnum, peering along the 6-inch barrel at one of the overhead lights. Slowly, he reloaded it, not taking any chances that someone had tampered with the heavy pistol. Doc Tanner swung his sword stick, the thin steel blade hissing and whistling as he cut and parried like a fencing scarecrow, shuffling and dancing, muttering to himself from some archaic guide to fighting.
Punto and reverso, staccata and imbroccata, passata, parry and lunge! By the three Kennedys, but we'll purge this place, my friends.
Ryan held up a hand for silence.
We've been lucky so far. Let's realize that. Seems these people are too damn busy with their experiments and research to watch what's going on. But there's still a chance that someone might look at the security vid screens. So we still move quick and quiet. From now on, we take out anything and anyone we see.
Main thing's to get in and find what we can use to blow this mother a mile into the sky. We'll have to string out a little.
Yeah, I'll go point, Christy second. Then Jack, Doc, and Lori, with you and Finn holding the rear. From now on, there's no stopping. The security in this section is old and all fucked up. Once we reach the research sections, I'm guessing it'll be harder.
JB gave directions from his map as they moved toward the core of the complex. Each person had a favored blaster in hand, ready for instant fire. It was one of those situations, as Doc had pointed out a couple of minutes earlier, when those that weren't for him were agin him. There was no danger of accidentally shooting down a friend. There were no friends. Just then, two helmeted Muti guards stepped simultaneously from a side corridor, only 30 short paces in front of Ryan. Standing close together, they began to turn slowly and awkwardly. The caseless G-12 was already at Ryan's hip. He took lightning aim, bracing himself even though the H&K automatic rifle was virtually without recoil. It was set on triple burst. Ryan squeezed the trigger twice, shifting his aim slightly from one segment to the other. The two corpses slid and kicked on the blood-slicked tiles of the corridor.
Nice.
Damn right about that, Jack.
The segment on the right had been hit by all three rounds in the center of his chest, 5 inches below the thorax, the bullets within a finger's width of one another. The force of the impact had lifted the mutie clean off his feet, hurling him backward. Another three rounds, again tightly grouped, had hit the second guard a touch higher, knocking him sideways. As the seven began to move on, the loudspeaker above them crackled to life.
SAC report terminal malfunction? Query intruders? Report? Report!
The lights above them flickered. Ahead, a door was slammed shut.
Chills on.
Let's go.
Moving quickly, but with stealth, they approached the nearest entrance to the research section, which was just around the next turn. Oddly, the screeching siren had stopped. Suddenly, around the corner came the two pretty young women they'd seen on the day of their arrival at Wizard Island, Doctors Luella Hall and Angie Flogg. A sec man walked behind them, carrying cleaning tools, ready for the two blue-eyed blonde girls to have an antisocial accident.
Whitehead was for anthrax derivative testing at sea in Amber. Why with you? And uniform-wise on orthodoxy.
Ryan had the ruthless instincts of the true killer, but even he hesitated at chilling these poor, mentally deprived girls. They were merely victims of a crazed policy of research and inbreeding.
Terminate them all!
They're mine.
And they were. Ryan admired the careful way Jack braced his right hand with his left, steadying the heavy pistol against the inevitable kick.
It's a good beginning.
Ryan was beginning to think it was almost like some lunatic dream. They were moving through this redoubt, buried deep under the waters of Crater Lake, in what had once been the beautiful state of Oregon. They were killing security men in handfuls, even wiping out the protected scientists. Only one sec man guarded the main entrance as the seven friends came within sight of it. His back was turned, a laser rifle slung across his black-clad shoulder. The dark mirrored visor stared blankly away from them, toward a moving pattern of colored lights that danced over the top of the door. Near him was a sign that read, "Absolutely no admittance without authorization and accreditation."
That one's fucking mine.
All security operatives, go to condition red. Repeat, condition red. Weapons into full termination mode. Repeat, condition red. Any person without clearance will be eradicated without warning. Condition red.
Gotta be a quick decision.
What?
We can run for the elevator, maybe steal one of those boat wags, doubt they'll come after us.
But we must destroy this nest of evil and corruption.
Sure, Doc. But it's not up to me to order everyone to risk their lives. Chances are we can get away free if we run now.
I never run from nobody. And you don't get better chances than this, since it's 100-1 their fucking blasters don't work.
We go in and try to blow the complex. Or we get out now. Who stays?
The only one to hesitate was Jack. The others immediately raised their hands.
Sure. Why not?
You don't have to, kid. This isn't your fight.
Wrong. If it's your fight, then it's mine.
Then we go. Finn?
Sure. I'll take him out on triple shot.
Don't take any risks.
Old friend, have you ever known Thomas O'Flaherty Finnegal fucking Finnegan ever to do anything as stupid as take a fucking risk?
Yeah. Too many fucking times, Finn.
The man moved out around the corner, pausing to flatten the smooth black fur collar of his gray leather coat. The sec man turned to face Finnegan, leveling the stubby laser blaster on him.
Identification or termination now.
This here SMG's all the fucking identification I need, you muty bastard!
Chill him now, Finn!
No!
Finn half-turned to reassure them, just as the sec guard fired his blaster. There was a dazzling streak of amethyst light that hit Finn squarely in the chest.
Fuck!
It was a hideous passing. Over the bloody years, Ryan Carter had seen many men and women meet their maker. Few of them had gone peacefully into that long night, but he had never seen anyone chilled in such an appalling way as his friend Finnegan. The blind perversity of the fates had dictated that the laser rifle of the sec man functioned perfectly for just long enough. Unlike a single bullet, the beam of light from a high-power military laser acts more like a directional narrow strip of extreme heat. A bullet drills a hole through flesh, the exit hole generally markedly bigger than the entrance wound. Not so with a laser. It is precisely the same size as it exits the human body as when it enters. Also, light has no mass, so there is no impact. As the laser struck Finnegan, it didn't lift him off his feet or throw him backward. Nothing initially as dramatic as that. But the power was so awesome that in the instant the blaster came to life, its vivid blue beam had penetrated clean through the helpless Finn, hitting the wall only a couple of paces to the left of JB, who immediately threw himself flat on the floor, hands over his head, as chunks of liquid concrete and charred wood fell from the side of the corridor. Along one wall, Ryan watched in impotent horror, seeing that nothing could be done for the doomed man. Stinking smoke erupted from the front and back of Finn's coat, tiny flames flaring red and yellow. Every staggering movement of the dying man only increased his horrific suffering. His skin was scorched black, the flesh broiled by the immense power of the blaster. The heat was so intense that poor Finn's intestines began to explode and melt, and his blood boiled instantly where the laser had touched him. As Finn dropped, his own blaster clattering on the tiles, the sec man kept the trigger down, almost slicing the beefy man into segments with the blaster's ferocity.
Oh, no, 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 no!
As the body lay smoldering on the floor, the blue light stopped as suddenly as it had started. The sec mutie looked down at the blaster and banged his fist on the control dial, frustrated that the weapon had ceased functioning.
Mine.
Ryan stooped and put his G-12 case list down, placing the 6-hour 9mm pistol alongside it. Then he moved out of cover and walked toward the helmeted guard, loosening the white silk scarf from around his neck.
Don't, lover.
Christy tried to pull Ryan back around the corner.
I'll chill him from here.
No. This is what the good Dr. Tardy might call a hands-on termination, revenge-wise. Gotta be.
He shrugged off their warnings and stepped toward the sentry. Closing in on the mutie, Ryan carefully avoided the stinking corpse, where bodily fluids still bubbled and seeped. The guard backed clumsily away until his helmet rang against the door. Ryan looped the silken scarf in his hands carefully, his eyes locked on the reflective visor of the sec man's black carapace. The lower edge of the mutie's helmet didn't quite settle on his squat, muscular neck, leaving a couple of inches of pallid flesh exposed. The muzzle of the blaster rose to cover Ryan's groin and lower belly. Despite his limitless courage, the one-eyed man winced.
You just chilled one of the best, bravest men I ever knew. Friends are rare, good friends rarer. And you chilled him, you heartless, muty bastard!
Ryan swung the weighted end of the scarf so that it lashed out and whipped around the guard's throat, the end coming back into Ryan's ready fingers.